the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call, and at the midnight cries we'll be going home when Jesus steps out. Jesus is coming back for the church. And don't it make you want to shout? Hallelujah. Oh, I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilling. Oh, and signs of the time, they're appearing. I can almost hear my Father as he says, son, go get my children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out.
Everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and tonight I'm going to be stumbling and bumbling over Revelation 19. Revelation 19 about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I was not able to put full attention to it today, so a lot of it, I'm going to be talking you through it, I think, because I'll be putting it in order tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be teaching it tomorrow night. So I have to spend a lot of time tomorrow. Today was a big day, folks. tremendous day. But before I get into my day and what happened and getting into Revelation 19, Sister Sharon, were you able to be involved with prayer time this morning?
Oh, absolutely. And we had pretty much a full house in a Uber conference and stuff, and a lot of good prayer. And I think a lot of people were just really edified by it.
Was Michael there by any chance?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Not by any name that we're used to anyway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he told me that one or two of his granddaughters were with him, and they were, well, him and his wife, they were with him, and they were going to be doing all sorts of things with him, you know, grandpa and kids stuff. So I guess I spoke to him over the weekend. All right. And okay. Sister Kathy, were you part of the dynamic duo today?
And we thank you for letting me get unmuted. Yeah, we had Charles and Paula Jean and Twizzle and Sharon and me and Eve. And no, nobody showed up that wasn't, nobody else but us were there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Wonderful morning.
Oh, and then Gigi, this should be Gigi. Gigi and Randy.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I got real nice testimony to share with you, with everybody. And you are in such beautiful matching colors.
I unfortunately have no control.
Yeah.
But that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a like a tannish orange background. Within the circle is a canary yellow. And then right in the middle, letters UC, which means unknown caller. But very, very nice looking.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's really pretty.
Oh, you see it too? Sister Sharon, you see it also, the same colors?
Oh, yeah. I sure do see it.
Yeah.
Sister Kathy.
Yours too. But,
yeah.
I do too, but I see a big UC in the middle, but not a big UC, but it's on a like a drone shot with a city underneath it.
Oh, oh. Really? I've never seen that. Yeah. And then we have Sister Rita here.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Oh, hello.
And hello to everyone out there.
Hey.
I hear your cat.
My kitty, yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a kitty. He's 16 years old.
Wow. But,
He's a spoiled little imp, I tell you.
I took my dog to the vet today, just routine. And anyways, when I took him into the vet's place, there was someone with a cat and one dog, then another dog came, and he doesn't know how to act. He's never, we had Dora, but Dora passed away, and he's by himself, and here are all these dogs, and he didn't know what to do. It was so funny. He was like so excited. His head was moving back and forth, and his eyes were so big.
Oh.
And then, okay, here's Paula Jean.
Good evening.
Hey, girl.
Good evening, Paula Jean. All right.
And Chaplain Jerry from Canada sends her regards. She tries to watch and listen all the time, but they are pumping up for March Madness and all kind of things that are keeping them busy. But she said, tell everyone, hey, and she really appreciates all the prayer.
Yeah, and I'm not hiding this. I'm really, of course, I'm concerned for the United States, but I'm really, really, really concerned for Canada.
Yeah, she is too.
We don't get much, what would be the word, deep information here about Canada. I guess there's sites that you could go to, but generally, you know, there are neighbors to the north, and that's basically it. But what's happening, what Trudeau has done to Canada is Biden on steroids. It's incredible. Yeah. It's and these there's a the hard left. There's a significant amount that are leaving America to go to Canada. And from what I see, it's incredible. The price of housing's like double. The salary is like less. There's all sorts of like taxes. The taxes are huge. It's hard to get medical treatment. You know, they say, yeah, you get government health care, but you can't get it.
Right.
You know? So it's really something, but Canada is it's in serious trouble.
Well, she was very upset because we are kind of their caregiver, and she said, and tariffs have been crazy for us from them, and she was just indignant that they don't have military, they depend on us, and they don't appreciate us. So she gave us a good dose of, we love those people of America.
Yeah. Yeah, and Trump is he's real serious about the condition of Canada. I mean, it's like he's trying to break Canada of the way it was with tariffs against us and all, and not having their own security, but it's for their own good. Seriously. I mean, this is mind-boggling as I've come to understand our relationship with Canada and how Canada has to, like what Trump is doing when he took over for Biden, that's what the Canadians have to do, the same thing with their government.
Amen.
So the Canadians need a great move of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we do too. But, and then Quebec is awful. I mean, I don't know how the Canadians can stand Quebec. So, all right. So we had a wonderful prayer time this morning. And then we went to, it's like a brunch. After we pray, we go to Pandera Bread. And I got a call while I was there, which I didn't take, but we were really, really late. I mean, we started at 8 in the morning, and we didn't leave Pandera Bread till, pretty close to 11:30. Yeah, that's how long we were there. And the prayer time was long this morning, so there was a lot of people there. We had a long prayer time. So anyways, I called the person who had called me. Now, yesterday I had spoken with him, and it's quite a story how I got to meet this man. But he is I was not warned in a bad sense, but I was warned about him by the man who introduced me to him, that this guy is like a walking genius when it comes to websites and internet and all of that. So we hit it off right away when we were talking, and it's a whole nother story why I got to call him. Actually, it was a three-way call. The person I was talking to put him on. So we spoke for about a long time yesterday. I would say, 45 minutes we talked. He wanted to know everything about my ministry. He's 100% behind it. And then today he called me during the meeting we had. So by, as soon as I finished, I called. At 1 hour we spoke. 1 hour. And it's incredible. I'm talking to Sister Kathy kind of as personal, but it's for everybody else. He has his own network with, like, I don't know, 200 radio stations on it. And he has his own, like video, you know, but it's not, it's like, one of the major ones. Who has a big one now? What Dove is on with, it's like what Dove is on. And he's volunteering all this stuff. And he said, well, I'll set you up on this and I'll set you up here. And he said, you can use Rumble, but you'll be off Rumble. He said, there's a lot of ads when you start Rumble. I said, I don't start it. Like, I don't come in like people do. You know, So I don't see it, but yes, I heard there's a lot of ads. He said, that's all off now. He says, I'm going to show you OBS, you're going to be shocked when you see everything you can do with OBS. I'm putting all your websites together on this, and they're all going to be interwoven. I'm going to go over it with you, and you've got so many videos. I know how to set these videos up for search engines. It was incredible. It's incredible.
Man.
So I told him about Abba Father's International Fellowship. So he said, I'm going to work. I'm going to set that up for you. And that you'll have Abba Father's International Fellowship, USAProphecy.com, Blessing Israeli Believers, and Cops for Christ. So we're reviving Cops for Christ.
That's awesome. So he'll be your webmaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, absolutely. And did he say he'd do it for free, or did he give you a quote of price?
I said to him, I said, before we go much further, I said, we got to talk about finances here. And he said, I'm going to do all this and set it up because I believe in your ministry. That's what he said. And then he wanted to know all about Pakistan. And I was telling him about Pakistan and Kenya and all the Muslims. I mean, he went like wild. He went wild.
Mm.
And then I said, you want to know all about me? Well, I have my apologetics, and I've got all these books. I wrote these books from my knowledge of debating the Jews. He said, do you have them in the ebook? I said, no. He said, send it to me, and in 20 minutes I'll turn it around and send it back to you in ebook. So I have it. Well, one. The other two I haven't sent yet. I have the book in ebook now that I can.
My.
He did it already. And
well, that word initially just kind of triggers like initially, but then what?
You mean I said initially?
But anyway.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. He said to me, look, he said, I'm working with you on this. I want to get you established. So he said, I got a feeling that you're kind of mostly supporting this by yourself. I said, well, people are helping me, but he said, I want to get behind you for this ministry so that we can set you up to raise funds.
Yo, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it even got more. And I said to him, I would like to promote something on the Abba Father's International Fellowship. And I said, it has to do about pro-life and a tremendous legal case I won against the city of York, Pennsylvania, and that it's law now in Pennsylvania and Maryland and Delaware and the central area there. The federal courts have it as law. He goes, really? Really? Send that to me. I want to see it. So you're pro-life too? I said, yeah. He was like flabbergasted because so many things were coming out. And he goes, I'm behind you. I'm behind you 100%. I did send it to him. I sent it to him. And I sent him one of the only Jesus of Nazareth books. He sent it back to me in 20 minutes. It's an ebook. And he said, I've got all your websites now. We're going to intertwine them. I'm going to work very close with you. I got introduced to him through a former deputy sheriff in from Indiana. He's in Atlanta now. And he is working with a real close friend of mine that used to promote me when, as America's Done to Israel was very prominent. And his name's Jerry.
Yeah.
So Jerry called me up and said, I've got this brother here. He's big on Israel. And I could see you two working together. He said, I've known him for many years.
That is amazing. So, well, did he say what kind of OBS, what other sort of things OBS would be able to do?
Yeah. He was telling me, and it was like, it was just overwhelming to me. It was overwhelming. Mm. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'll tutor you on it. I'll tutor.
Wow.
What happened is this brother that wants to work with me, because I told him about Cops of Christ because he was a sheriff. So he went wild over it, and I showed him the site, and he goes, oh, my. And Jerry is saying, I know you two can work together. Now, I'm very careful about that, Sister Kat.
I know. You've been burned a time or two.
Yeah, but this I said, I don't know if I can if I have the technical equipment to do this on the level you're talking about. He said, well, I'll get my friend. And that's who he introduced me to.
Oh.
That's how he introduced me to
him. That is amazing.
So this guy's name is Emmanuel. And he said, this Cops for Christ. He goes, I don't have any connections in law enforcement now, being retired so many years and all. But he does, and he's got the connections all over the country. So he called me up yesterday, and he was saying, look, this is up and running already. There's so many that want to be a part of this Cops for Christ. Mm. And we'll have our Cops for Christ hour. He said, we'll have that. Man. And then he said, we'll have another one, Israel hour. And he says to me, you got the background, brother. You got the background. And he said, this is up and running already. He said, it's up and running. This has all happened in 2 days.
And this would be internet radio, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, do you think Pastor Ernie would let you just make a mention of tune in to during the week, this new internet station? Or
It depends. It depends upon the timing of it,
not in competing with them or anything.
Right. I don't think Ernie would hinder me in any way. I mean, I don't think so.
I think he'd be happy to promote it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're really off and running on it. Now,
that's awesome.
From a personal standpoint of view, during the conversation, Jerry is the man's name. He mentioned to me something about a 57 Chevy. And I forget how it got up in the conversation. So I said to him, Jerry, I said, please don't be insulted, but how old are you? He goes, well, I was born in July 1948. I said, wow. I said, I was born in May. We're the exact age. Now, I said, back in the day, were you a hot rodder? And he said, oh, yeah. He was telling about this car and that car. So next thing you know, we're off and running for 20 minutes talking about drag racing and building engines.
All this that is amazing.
Back in the day, and Emmanuel's listening to this. And I 10 minutes we were talking. And he goes, oh, man, I'm sorry I missed it. He goes, he was like 40. No, he's like 30 years behind us. He goes, oh, listening to you too. And the cars and the racing and all that. Wow. He goes, that's we don't do that anymore. But he said it was so exciting. And then we started to talk about this happening and that. So we're like close. We're really close. And I told him I got pictures of the cars I raced and all. And he said, will you send them to me? I said, yeah, I'll send them to you. And then he started to talk about his dogs. And I said, well, I got dogs too. And I wrote my memoirs. You have memoirs about your dogs? I said, yeah. I said, I'll send it to you. Yeah, please. I mean, everything you could think of, we were
unbelievable,
perfectly lined up. Mm-hmm.
That is incredible, Chaplain. That is favor.
That's
just
what I told
overflowing.
I told him that. I said, Jerry, I said, meeting you and you, working with me in this, expanding the ministry, I said, is one of the biggest answers to prayer that the Lord has done with me in the ministry. So this is huge.
Amen.
This is huge.
It is. It is. It's all encompassing. End of it.
I told him about when Jesus set you free, the booklet. And I told him what it was doing with the imams, how they and the Muslims. He said, "Well, I can." He said, "I can translate it into languages. We can set it up." And I said, "It's already in Swahili and Urdu." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, that's my ministry over there." And I said, "When the Muslims read it in like Swahili and they read it in Urdu, they go ballistic." I said, "It's doing." He said, "We're going to set this up in many languages." He said, "I can set this up." He said, "We'll get this all over the world."
Oh my goodness! Oh man! Thank you, Jesus.
So, real favor. I've got real favor now. So, looks like with Emmanuel, we're going to have one or two shows. And then with Jerry, we've got, I can't even remember it all that he was telling me. It's incredible. So, Sister Kathy, if you would give the Lord thanksgiving for this.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Father, we come to you with just knowing you have rolled out the red carpet, rolled out the favor, rolled out the blessing, rolled out mercy and grace, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into Chaplain John's bosom, and to Emmanuel's and to Jerry's, because they're likewise blessed. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you that this is just encompassing every inch of Chaplain John's ministry and his outreaches and his wheelhouse. It is just beyond comprehension. This is vision on steroids. I mean, this is so far past a big vision. It is just, I mean, it's... my goodness, I just am almost speechless, but thank you. Thank you, God. We didn't despise the day of small beginnings, and you are blowing it out of the ballpark. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For every yes Chaplain John has given you, for every step in obedience that he's walked, you have just taking him over with blessings. You're chasing him down with blessings. You're overtaking him. And just, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you began this work in Chaplain and you are completing it. And we just thank you for all the collective prayers that have been prayed on this ministry for at least 10 years, God. And we just are graciously thanking you. We're praising you. We're honoring you. We're blessing you with our lips. We're blessing you with our hearts. We're blessing you with our spirits. And we are just singing praises to you for this great and awesome work that you have worked today. Today, the favor is just, it's like the anointing oil that rolled off of the beard, Lord, all the way down to the apron of the priestly garment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, we will never cease to praise you. And you get all the glory. Not one man in this ministry thinks they need to take any praise. It's all for you. And we just love you for being such a faithful God, such a covenant-keeping God, such a scripture-honoring God. We just love you and bless you and praise you. And I thank you in advance for every heart that's going to be healed, every eye that's going to be open, every foot that's going to be straightened and made to not be lame, every heart that just is full of love for you after it's healed, that it will spread the good news. So thank you for what it took to get Chaplain here. Thank you for what's going to happen from here on out, and everybody that's going to be blessed, encouraged, uplifted, and ministered to, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's like I said, it's so exciting, and we'll take this step by step. But I'm already, you know, in contact with Jerry, and we're off and running. I have the book already as an ebook, and it's set up in pages. You read it like a regular book, only it's an ebook.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that something?
That is outstanding. It is technology beyond our wildest dreams.
Right. So when we were kind of finishing talking today, I said, Jerry, from technology standpoint of view, you've taken me from my 55 Chevy with the 409 tri-power in it up to a 2025, I think it's a Z01 Corvette that does like 200.
Oh, my goodness, that's true.
Yeah. So I said, but Jerry, I still love my 55 Chevy. So there we go. All right. Now, here's what I'm doing. I'll be teaching this tomorrow night, and I'm going to take my time about it, and let me get it over so you could see it. I may end up teaching it two nights. Oh yeah, it is over already. You can see it. So what let me get my Bible open, because I'm going to have to go to the Bible. Okay. Now when we get to Revelation 19, there's some really like distinct parts that aren't really connected. When you look at it here, you've got Revelation 19, and ending in verse 9 is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then John, in Revelation 19:10, he falls at the feet to worship him, the guide that was showing him heaven. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what I like about this leading into the second coming of the Lord is it just shows you that, see, there's nothing connected with the marriage supper of the Lamb and then Christ returning. It's just like maybe chronological. The marriage supper of the Lamb is over. But what I wanted to bring out is how awestruck John was. Because if you read the scriptures about the marriage supper of the Lamb, it doesn't relate to like the magnitude of it. And the setting is in New Jerusalem. And maybe the incredible colors and the types of manna is being offered. You know, there's nothing like that. But apparently, you know, John did see much, much more than is reported here in the scriptures. He's overwhelmed by what he saw. And so there is this tremendous setting in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. John is absolutely overwhelmed. You can see the way he reacts. He lost his mind, in a sense, here by what he saw at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's over. And it, now all of a sudden it gets real serious. It gets real serious. And we get to verse 11. And it says in verse 11, oh, I didn't open in prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for, it was an incredible day. Actually, yesterday and today. I thank you, Lord. And I ask for the blessing on your word. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Lord, when it comes to the word of God here, it we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit into all truth, not my opinion but not following some, Bible college teaching, but your word, Lord. Truth from your word. And that's where the great blessing is. The truth from your word rightly divided. And whatever I do, Lord, is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's read Revelation 19:11, 12, and 13. And I saw heaven opened. This is very important about John seeing heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a white vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And then verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Actually, it should be white and clean. Now, what I wanted to do is, if you read the whole chapter down to Christ's coming, it doesn't mention anything about the background of what's going on in the heavens and what's going on in nature. And my goal in this is to get all the scriptures I can together in a cohesive understanding to tie together Christ's coming and the background of what's going on in the heavens. And complete darkness, and then the background of his coming is complete darkness, and then his glory. The whole world is going to see him in his glory. The mountains falling down, the sun is scorching the earth. The Bible calls it meteors, and we would probably call it, they call it stars. We would call it meteors smashing into the earth and all. So that's what I want to tie together. All of the background that's going on. So when it says here in Revelation 9:11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, heaven opened, and you see, I don't have this. Yeah, I do have it. I do. I was able to kind of get it together here. Okay, when it says heaven was opened, that takes us back directly to Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal. And when I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. I'm not after that right now. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. That's the stars of heaven. That's the meteors coming. Now here it is. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So, when we go back to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it just said, and I saw heaven opened. So, it's like a portal. It's like he sees this big portal up into heaven. And what does Revelation 6, the sixth seal say? That when he sees heaven opened, what it is, it's like a scroll being rolled back. The whole universe is in convulsions. You know, this isn't like a little shaking here at all. I mean, the universe is being rolled back, folks. Okay. I mean, just try and put that together of what are they seeing? I mean, it's being rolled back like a scroll. People that are alive then looking will say, looking up, what is it to have heaven rolled back like a scroll? That's what's happening when in Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened. And what happens when he saw heaven opened? behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. So as heaven's being rolled back as a scroll, and there's a darkness that's being associated with that, the sun, it's going to be like completely dark, and then I don't know how long it's dark for, and then wham, there's the Lord with the glory manifesting. Now his glory comes from his face. That's what they're going to see and on earth. But as the heaven is being rolled back as a scroll, there must be a magnitude 20 or 30 earthquake associated with that. And the earth is convulsing. It says in Isaiah that it's shaking back and forth like a drunkard, you know, staggering. And the mountains, every mountain is coming down. The islands are disappearing. You know? So that's in connection with the heaven opening, because you know, you recognize in the sixth seal, that's the first thing that's mentioned. Let me get that. And I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell. Now you notice that that is mentioned first, and then it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. So it's like there's this big, gigantic earthquake, and I think that announces, that's this gigantic earthquake announces the coming of Christ. Because you see that in chapter 16, the seventh vial judgment of wrath, that gigantic earthquake. And then after the earthquake, the Lord, there's a sound from heaven, from the temple in heaven, saying it is done, it is finished. So that means Christ is coming. But it seems like this gigantic earthquake, it's like a jolt. It's like this gigantic jolt of electricity, and it hits the earth, and the earth is reeling to and fro, like kind of out of its place, and that's bringing down these mountains. All the Himalayas are going to be flattened. The Rocky Mountains are going to be flat. All the islands are disappearing. The convulsions that are taking place. So that's, I've taught this like separately, but not trying to put it in an order of like, not just teaching that, well, these earthquakes are going to happen, but fitting it in to like Revelation chapter 11. So as Christ is coming in Revelation chapter 11, this is happening. This is happening. This is tied into it. This is happening. When they see his face, let's go here and look at Revelation 6 again. I left 15 out, but Revelation 6:16 says, and these are the kings of the earth, and the mighty men of the earth, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. See, that ties in directly with Revelation 19, starting at verse 11, about him, his coming. So I want to blend it all together. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who will be able to stand? That ties directly in with Armageddon, because they see him coming, and they're trying to hide in the mountain, and the islands in the mountain were moved out of their place. Now they're trying to hide in those rocks and crevices and caves from the Lord's coming. From the Lord's coming. So, I got the scriptures that I know I want to use, and it's a matter of putting it together so you could see. Oh, and the other thing I've learned from this is years ago, for some reason, I thought the Lord's coming would take a lot of time. I don't know why I thought this, but I thought it would be slow motion kind of type thing. And the heavens are rolled back, and then the darkness, and then you see the Lord's face. I think the whole thing is going to happen in a very, very short time. Very short time. That earthquake might last like a half hour. Those big, huge earthquakes, the more powerful the earthquake, the longer it lasts. And that earthquake may take place the entire time. And then when his feet stand on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14, there, verses 4 and 5, the Mount of Olives is going to split miles wide. That'll end all the earthquakes. When his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, that'll end the earthquakes on the earth, because everything is going to be completely changed. You know, mountains are going to be flattened. So, I want everyone to see the awesomeness of the second coming. And tied together, I think that, you know, I know the Lord, we're going to pray here when we finish and just ask that the Lord will be able to get me to get it to flow. That's what I want, to get it to flow real nice. Because the sun is going to erupt and scorch the earth, and every living thing in the oceans are going to die. The oceans are going to be polluted with the blood. And another thing, a lot of this here I'm bouncing off you folks, is Revelation chapter 14. Let me turn to it. Get my Bible here. Where is it? There it is. And, okay. Now, 14, when we get to the end, it talks about God's wrath being poured out. And we get to it, and it talks about the angels are going to do the harvesting. Verse 18. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now, when we go on in Revelation chapter 19, let me go back to it. Yeah, see, I don't know where it is in here right now. It's 19:15. There it is. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, Revelation 19:15, Revelation 14, those verses that I read in 14 go together. So the angel are going to do the gathering, and it says they're going to be put in the winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trodden without the city. Now, who's doing it? Jesus Christ. And he treadeth the winepress in verse 19:15. Of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God without the city. Now, without the city means Jerusalem. And the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, for a space of 1,600 furlongs. And that comes out to be, I think, like 200 miles. So most think that that is figurative. But here's my reasoning on this, that I think it's literal. These people that are here now, this is Armageddon where they're gathered. And they have shed the blood of God's people both before the first half of the tribulation and into the second half. These are the ones that were with the Whore of Babylon. And they, look what they did to the saints of God, where the saints of God were crying out to avenge their blood. And then in the second half of the tribulation, they were killing anyone that would not take the mark of the beast. So they have tremendous blood on their hands. And then we know, like, the oceans are all dying, and the fresh water, the salt water, it's all dying from the, it's been turned into like rotten blood. So here's my thought on this. And I think that God is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it said threadeth down. That means like you're stepping on the grapes and squashing them. There's two types of grape wine presses there. One is you walk on it, and the weight of your body crushes the grapes, and you just keep on walking and walking. The other one uses like leverage, and it's got a top that you put around top, you put over the round wine press, and there's that top, you turn a handle, and it turns the top in a circular way and brings it down and down and down and down, and squashes the juice out of the grapes. So this one here, he threadeth the wine press. So it's a picture of Jesus Christ himself crushing a people in judgment. Of course, that'd be through the Holy Spirit. And it'll be instantly. And every drop of blood is going to be squashed out of them, threaded out of them. So you will have this huge gathering of people at Armageddon, where within a nanosecond, all their blood is, there it is. There it is. And apparently the armies of Armageddon are going to be near Jerusalem. So that's where it will start. And the blood will then flow. It'll be as high as the horse's bridle. And God can direct it through valleys and ravines and all that. And it's going to go for that distance. So I think it's literal. Because Jesus Christ himself is going to threadeth the winepress and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So that's my explanation of why I think it's literal. So there's a lot more I want to share, but let's go for questions and answering, or questions here. Because I have been a little bit rumbling as my thoughts are, I'm just kind of thinking out loud mostly. Well, Sister Kathy, could you follow me, or was I bumbling incoherent?
Well, it's funny when you said you've been rumbling, but you've been, I think the word you were looking for was rambling.
Rambling,
but
yes.
I think you were doing fine, just getting it all laid out one duck in a row.
Yeah, it's just tying it all together,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So I want to get the big picture, because
absolutely.
We look at, like, Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal. Then we look at Revelation 19:11, but they're both happening at the very same time.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to bring together, what's happening at the all – all this is happening at the same time, and make it nice and coherent. And you can see the magnitude within a very short time. Within a very short time, the Lord's going to, heaven's going to open. He's going to descend. And all of this is happening. Like, it's not going to be days of earthquakes.
Right.
You know, the earthquakes might last for 20 minutes or a half hour or something like that.
Yep.
And then it's over.
Yeah, he said he's going to do a quick work, and he means it.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Sister Gigi and Randy, any comments about what I was sharing?
No, we were just following it, and kind of incredible. You know, it's a very stark picture. So just listening to somebody reading it is, I don't know. I mean, it's the Lord, and he's doing the right thing, but it's kind of tough listening to it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, it is tough to listen to because it is tough to listen to it. Yeah, this is the end of evil, though, and the magnitude of it. Now, also, I want to make it clear. And I want to show you Revelation, Romans chapter 8. I want to make it clear that this isn't like wanton destruction by the Lord. When you see the earthquakes and the mountains coming down and the islands disappearing, and you see these meteors that weigh like 80 pounds each, 75 pounds each hitting the earth, and the fires, and I'm sure with the earthquake, the earth reeling, you know, to and fro like a drunkard, you're going to have gigantic tsunamis like the world's never seen. I mean, these tsunamis could be like a mile high or 2 miles high or something. I don't know. They go 10 miles. When the earth starts rocking back and forth, that means the oceans are rocking back and forth. But all of this is to completely do away with the earth as we know it and set it up for the Lord's millennial reign, the kingdom age on earth. There's going to be no traces of the earth the way it was as we know it now. It's like when Noah went into the flood and came out after it, the earth was unrecognizable to him.
Yes.
That's how it's going to be at Christ's second coming. During the millennial reign, the earth is like unrecognizable, probably for the Jews that were saved at Christ's coming. They'll know the difference between the earth before his coming and after his coming, but the generations after that won't. They'll have no, like us, we don't know how the earth really was before the flood. There's a little reference in the scripture to it, but we can only realize it the way it is now. So that's one of the goals of the Lord. All the cities are going to be destroyed. It's all of that. It's all just based on sin, really, you know? So there's going to be a complete redo after the Lord's return. Now, listen to this here from Romans. Let me get over to Romans chapter 8. Okay. So we know about where the adopted sons of God in verse 15. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 17. "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Now look at that. Joint heirs with Christ. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, verse 18. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, that's what I believe is the new body. We're going to have a transformed body like Jesus Christ, like his resurrected body. Now, here's where it gets real heavy. Verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. That's yes. us. But when does that manifestation take place? We're returning with Christ at his second coming. We're returning with the armies of heaven for the earnest, the truthful expectation of the creature, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Folks, I want you to think of that. God has so, we are so beloved of the Father. We're joint heirs with Christ. And I'm only going by what the word says here. Of course, Jesus Christ is at the center. The Lord is at the center, but the word is not focusing on him. It's focusing on us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Vanity means worthless. And that's because of sin. He looks at his universe here as like ruined. And God's perfect and he's holy. And man's sin in his universe is unacceptable. Subject to vanity. Not willing, but by the reason of him who had subject the same in hope. Because the creature, the creation itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Amen.
I mean, that's mind-boggling, folks. I want everybody edified by this. When it says that heaven is rolled back as a scroll in Revelation 6, the sixth seal, that's the vanity. It's being done away with. And then it's going to be, what happens? Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's the decay. That's everything like breaking down. It's going to be done away with into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And this is for us. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travail in pain until now. Not when we're revealed. It all stops when we're revealed. That's when we return with Jesus Christ. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. We even groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body.
Yes, that's true.
So, what I believe is when Christ returns and the corruption there, the decay and all of that is done away with. And it's liberty now. As we are coming in liberty, so is the universe. It's like he's fitting the universe for us both. I mean, Revelation chapter 8 here is incredible. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. When does it stop? When we're revealed. When we're manifested. And when does that happen? We return with Jesus Christ. We return with the Lord. So at the day of the Lord, there, the day begins with the creation groaning and moaning and in decay and in vanity. And at the end of the day, when we've returned, it's been delivered.
Yes.
So that deliverance that we're looking at in Romans chapter 8, is that the new heaven and is that the new earth? I say yes.
Seems like it. Does seem like it.
Yeah. Now, that's radical, what I just told you. Overwhelmingly, all the Revelation teachers put the new heaven and the new earth after the great white throne judgment. But with that heaven rolled back like a scroll, and then it's when it's unrolled coming back the other way, it's all the decay. All of that is all gone. And it's fit. God has fitted for us. It's amazing, folks. I can't say this enough. The new heavens and the new earth, he is doing it for us. Of course, the Lord too, but he said he's zeroing in on us. He wants his new creation fit for his children. No decay, no rot, no all that was in this universe here because of the fall of man and sin ruined it. He doesn't want that. He wants it perfect for us. So that's why I believe that the new heaven and the new earth takes place at Christ's second coming. It'll be radical. I mean, it'll be really radical at his second coming. All right. Gigi, any comments about that?
Whenever it says that he rolls it up like a scroll,
yeah.
It reminds me of there's a couple of passages, but there's one, I love this scripture, where it says in Isaiah 40:22, he's sitting enthroned, and it says he wraps himself in light as with a garment, and he stretches out the heavens like a tent. And so it's, and in 42:5, it says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out. And this is like the opposite of creation. It's decreation. And I always think about that. I don't know if there's a psalm that talks about the trees of the field clapping their hands.
Yes.
And so I need to look that up and see that. But even in Job, it talks about him stretching out the universe. And it was very interesting because I love those scriptures. And then I heard a scientist, this was some time ago, talking about that the heavens are expanding, that the universe is expanding outwards. They don't know in what or how they do it. But I thought it was interesting that this is the opposite so that he can recreate everything. I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, exactly right. So if you start at one point and stretch the heavens out, it looks like what God did. He didn't just say, you know, okay, create the heavens and the earth. Where all of a sudden it's there in its completeness. What he did was he from one point, whatever that is, and he stretched it out from that point.
Yeah. Right. And the picture of him doing that, you know, in my brain is just how awesome he is. I think that's why I like it so much, because it's showing you what incredible power and authority, and just that he would create a universe. He didn't have to. You know, he's complete, but he created the universe and he put us there. He put us in his universe.
Right.
And then he gives us his word. Yeah.
Right. But man's sin, even though the vastness of the universe, man's sin caused the decay.
Yes. Yes. So he has to do something.
Right.
He has to do something about that. And it's not just, like you said, it's not like a patching repair that he's doing.
Right.
He has to redo the whole universe. Yeah.
Now
listen, thank you very much.
Listen to this, Hebrews 1:10, starting at 1:10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens, all the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall, now listen to this, wax old as dust a garment. That's exactly what Romans 8 was talking about.
Yes.
And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up. This is waxing old as a garment. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So Hebrews 1 there is talking about the same thing as Romans 8, where they shall perish, the heavens and the earth, but thou remainest. God never changes. They all shall wax old as a garment. Our clothes gets old, and it gets tattered and torn and thin, and you can't, eventually you can't wear it anymore. As a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So God never gets old. His creation is waxing old as a garment, and he's going to fold it up. Isn't that what Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal is? Heaven departed as a scroll?
Yes.
Thou shalt fold them up, the heavens and the earth there.
Yes.
And they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall never fail. So God's eternal, but his universe is not.
It's a chap.
Amazing. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Sister Kathy.
So what is the sequence of spreading it out like a curtain and rolling it up like a scroll? Was that in the beginning, and now the culmination is winding it up as a scroll?
Yes. Yeah. Because remember what Gigi said. You know, he created the universe like a tent, you know, created it. And now he's folding the tent up.
Very interesting.
Okay, Sister Sharon, any comments?
I am sitting here listening to all of this, and it's just very, very interesting that it basically is telling from the beginning to the end. And it's just hard to imagine that the earth is being rolled out like a scroll.
Yes.
And it's hard to imagine that happening. It is.
Well, you see, now put that in perspective, Sister Sharon, where the Lord, when he was on the earth, he was a man.
Right.
He was a man just like any other man looking at him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. But the Bible says he's the creator.
Right.
So everything we see out there, all of these galaxies and solar system, these big, huge stars, I mean, you add up the power of it. It's incalculable. It's incalculable. And he walked amongst us with power like that. Now, at his second coming, the beast and the false prophet and Satan, they think they're going to gather together the armies on the earth to try and prevent his second coming.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
it's very interesting.
It's like an ant attacking an elephant. In fact, that's not even a good example for it. He spoke the universe into existence. All he has to do is they destroy them. And instantly, they're gone. Instant. In a nanosecond, it's over. The Holy Spirit responds to his words. So when the Lord...
Yes, amen.
It's over. It's gone in a nanosecond.
And then we all come riding back with him.
Yes. Yes, we come back with him as the clouds of heaven. As the clouds of heaven.
Amen.
Now here's the Lord's weapons, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. Now look at this, with the spirit of his mouth. That's the word of God. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's his glory. Man, sinful man, cannot be in the presence of God's glory. You know, At the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus' face shine like the sun.
Right, right.
It probably was 1/1,000,000th of his glory that he allowed to happen in their presence. Otherwise, they'd be consumed.
Right.
Moses.
That's interesting to think of, too.
Yeah, Moses, when he was on, I don't think he was on Mount Sinai. He was on another mountain. Mount Nebo's in my mind. Anyways, the Lord had a like shield between them. And Moses could only see cloud, like cloudy, through it, the Lord. And he said he wanted to see the Lord's glory. And the Lord told him, you can't. No man can see my glory and live. And then he said, I'm going to hide my face when I pass by. So his glory emanates from his face. So when Moses, when the Lord walked by Moses, he put his hand out and covered Moses' face. And then he told Moses, you can see my hinder parts, his back.
Right.
And Moses, that interaction with God, when he came down off the mountain, he was glowing. He had absorbed God's glory.
Right. Yes.
And that's why I believe the Lord had to put Moses to death, because Moses had absorbed the Lord's glory. It said he was like in perfect health at 120. His eyes were clear and all. And it may be that he literally, I mean, this is the Creator. He was a foot from him. And his body and his face had absorbed God's glory. And he may have lived eternally like that. That's okay. That's why the Lord had to put Moses to death and bury him.
What time frame was that? Because didn't he cover up his face with a napkin so the people wouldn't be? So that wasn't like immediately that he killed him, right?
Oh, no. This was much later.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No. When he came down from the mount, that was at Exodus there. That was at... Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So this was 40 years later.
Oh, a second time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was up on the mountain the second time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord hid him in a ravine there. There's a word for it, in the rock.
The cleft of the rock.
Cleft, right. And when he said, I'll stretch my hand out, put it, protect your face. So, but Moses' body absorbed the Lord, the literal glory of the Lord, which is eternal life. He absorbed that, and he was glowing when he came down, and the people were terrified of him glowing. And then it says he was 120 in good health, and his eyes were clear and all. And it said the Lord had to put him to death and bury him. Okay, so I think I covered enough tonight. I feel now if I can write how I talked, I'll be all right. Putting it all
play
together.
Back the tape. Play back the tape.
Play back the tape. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think I'll start early in the morning tomorrow, as early as I can after like prayer time, mm-hmm. and get as close as – I'll probably end up – I can just see it takes time to put all this together. There's a lot of scriptures. But I'm excited. I want everybody to see, because there's so much in the Bible about it. But I want to put Revelation 6, 16, and 19 together, amongst others, to show when heaven opens and Christ comes out in Revelation 19, 11, this is what's happening at simultaneous. This is what's happening. Because in Revelation 19, it kind of looks nice and clean and smooth. He's coming down to battle at Armageddon, but the devil's in a world of hurt when all the mountains are coming down and you know, and everything's on fire and all. All right. Paula Jean, any comments or questions?
I'm very excited about where the Lord is taking you with this. I want to share a little bit about my visit with my nephew, and that is I did talk to him and give a little testimony about how God is bringing through this ministry teachings that are not widely out there or are rarely out there, but that are straight from Scripture. And so I did leave him to the Brokenhearted and the 666 brochures. And I'm also going to send one of the Brokenhearted to one of his brothers. So that's a step. But I also had a chance to talk with him about how important it is not to give up on what you have heard, because he's like, you know, really walking. He knows his mother wants him to believe in Christ, but he's not quite there. And so I just talked, I said quickly, I said, you know, your mom, your grandfather, and I would love to have you in heaven with us, and we hate the idea of your not being there. And I said, I just pray that what I've given you so far will draw you and bring you some information that inspires you to go deeper in this area, in this direction, and to seek out in prayer. And he knows about prayer. There's no doubt about that. In prayer, the answers that you're seeking to give you confidence in what Father God has sent in Jesus, his son, for our not only blessing now, but eternal blessing. And so we'll be praying for you. You just can count on that. And I pray that these things will speak to you at different times in your walk towards receiving Jesus and thereafter. And know that he will put before you and in your path teachers and teachings that will speak to you for the plan he has for your life, if you look to him to do so. And so I just want to say that what you're doing in your teaching really gave me the confidence to tell him not all the teachings that you would expect to be there for you are. You have to seek out the source so that you get in with people who are speaking God's truth for you where you are, so that you can move forward from where you are. And just listening to you, I mean, it blesses me every time we come before you as you're, I would say, chewing out the teaching, because you're really pondering and working the word and working it over until you really have how it dovetails and works to support the next word, you know. And that is a big gift that the Lord's given you. And I just pray that people don't stop just with what's easy to have and then get disappointed because it doesn't give them everything. We don't get everything at one time, and we need to keep searching. And what you're doing is showing us that you're still searching. So why shouldn't we know that we have to do that too?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what's coming up for me as I listen to all this. And I thank you, and I praise God for what he's doing. And more of this is going to get out to the world. And I praise him for that.
Amen.
Thank you for your part.
Well, Paula Jean, what is your is it your grandson? No, it's your grandnephew. Is that what he is?
Yeah, my nephew. Yeah, my brother's daughter's son.
Okay. What's his first name?
Garrett. G-A-R-R-E-T.
Garrett. Let's bring him up.
Two T's.
Yeah, let's bring him up prepared. Garrett. All right.
Yeah.
Father, I consider it a great honor that Paula Jean. So Paula Jean, before I pray, you did get the brochures then they came.
I got them the first day that I went out to meet with Garrett. And so that first day I arrived and had him go through, and at that point, 666 seemed to be the one. But then overnight, I was impressed, and I needed to give him the Brokenhearted brochure. And so I just said, this may not be appropriate for you right now, but there may be somebody that you know that it's going to be perfect for. So please receive it graciously and take a look at it if you choose. But I do pray that you will wait on God to show you who to share it with if it's not for you. And
all right, well, let's pray. So, Lord, I thank you for Paula Jean using the brochures that could be a help in the family, Lord, with her nephew. And, Lord, his mother has passed on to go to be with you. And I'm sure he has a broken heart as a result of that, Lord. And there are probably many other things in his life that broke his heart. So I ask that that brokenhearted brochure will open his eyes up, Lord, that it will make him see his need for you. And like Paula Jean said, Sister Paula Jean, that maybe he can pass it on to some others in the family. I think she mentioned another brother. But I thank you for the blessing of those brochures being used in Paula Jean's family, Lord. That's a great
honor. Getting them here in time. It was just so precious. I mean, the way it arrived the day that I was going out there, the first time to meet him, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So thank you.
All right. So thank you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Amen. Jesus' name.
And then we have Rita here. Hello, Rita. Any questions, any comments?
I had no questions. And I was able to follow along. And I was blessed by your teaching. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you were blessed. Yeah, so the thing is, we're on the Lord's side. Mm-hmm. When he's returning, we're with him. We're not on the receiving end of this. We're on the, he's the one that's dishing it out. But there we are with him. And the universe is waiting for the manifestation of us.
Right. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. I know it is.
God, when you read Romans 6 there, God wants his universe nice and tidy and neat and no corruption and decay in it for us. That is.
Yeah.
Because when it says there in Romans 8 that we are joint heirs with Christ, God's not exaggerating, folks. We are literally joint heirs with him.
Yes.
So what God has, he spares nothing when we become his children there. We to the point where we're joint heirs with Christ. That's incredible. So I want everybody exhorted with that. And then we're going to rule and reign with him. It's kings and priests. So just look at the incredible future we have waiting for us. And this is all after the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then when he's finished there, we have our final home is in the New Jerusalem. So
yeah.
what really captures my imagination is we're in the New Jerusalem. And of course, time and space like that, I don't think mean anything in heaven. There's a whole new different dimensions now. We live in, we call it the three dimensions. Well, in heaven, there could be a million, thousands, million dimensions. But anyways, we're in the New Jerusalem, and we know the streets in it, and we're walking down the street, and who's coming up but the Lord himself out for a stroll? So that's like mind-boggling to me. But I have trouble with that. You know? Well, there's the Lord you know, walking around saying hello to everybody, maybe, and how you doing and all. I mean, isn't that the way he dealt with Adam and Eve? Didn't he meet with them in the cool in the evening, right?
Yes, he did.
And he was very intimate with, you know, talking to them.
Yeah, intimate.
Yeah, so that's the way he could be with us. So whatever, we're out doing something, we're walking, and we look and ask the Lord coming head on with us. That is like, I can't explain it to you. It is like overwhelming to me. It's overwhelming that the idea that the Lord would be strolling around the New Jerusalem and we could run into him. So anybody have any comments with that? And I think I've mentioned this before. I still haven't gotten over that idea of meeting with the Lord in the New Jerusalem and him stopping and having a conversation with us. You know, it's like, wow.
You know what you're bringing to my memory is, in the beginning, Father God actually made us to be companions.
Yes. We're made in his image and likeness.
That's right. And so basically he's just being eternally patient with us, it seems, to get us to the place where we're going to trust him. And we will know he knows what he's doing, and that we don't have anything to fear, and that his love is all powerful.
Right. And that all has to do, everything you said, everything except kind of the right word. He wants to trust us as Abba Father.
Well, he wants us to trust him.
Yes, as Abba Father.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Sister Sharon, anything, do you have any thoughts about walking the streets of New Jerusalem and there's the Lord? Yeah, Sharon, are you there, Sharon, Sister Sharon? All right, Sister Kathy, how about you?
Okay, I'm here. Oh, I'm sorry, I muted you.
You muted you, okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think about walking the streets of New Jerusalem and there's the Lord?
To me, the idea of it is, it's amazing and overwhelming and stuff. I couldn't imagine just being somewhere standing in the middle of the street
right.
and then him walking down
right.
the street
right.
toward it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Oh, my goodness. That's all I could do.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
my goodness.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Sister Kathy, any comments about walking down the streets in New Jerusalem and there's the Lord coming the other way?
Whoa. Holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Yeah, walking with the Lord. Ooh, yes. Seeing Jesus and falling down at his feet. Only in our dreams right now can we imagine it.
Yeah. New Jerusalem coming down as a bride from heaven, adorned in precious jewels. All right, Gigi, what's your take on that?
It's hard for me to imagine, but I have read the Genesis 3.
Yes.
All Genesis many, many, many times. And that makes that great, very real, where he's walking and talking with them in the cool of the day.
Yes.
In the garden.
Yes.
And I think it's like a garden is what I'm thinking. We're going back to the garden.
Yeah, it'll be within the New Jerusalem. There could be a tremendous garden also. I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there will be. Many gardens, maybe.
And, you know, I think about, like, the river of life, and I think about, you know, it's the holy mountain, right? It's the holy mountain, and that's where God is, on the holy mountain, and we're there too, which is just incredible.
Right. And what it's important is we personalize all this, like, we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It isn't like some just a doctrine or something way off, you know, in the future. No, we're invited. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we've got to personalize this. We got to personalize that the creation is waiting for our manifestation.
Yeah, I think about that too. I think about that too.
All right.
Thank you.
Sister Rita, would you pray for me, please, that it would be a real blessed time, me teaching tomorrow?
Okay, and this is Wednesday at, where are you going to teach at tomorrow?
It's called the Word of Life. It's actually two churches combined, but the name is Word of Life.
The Word of Life, okay. Father, thank you that we are, thank you for us. I thank you, Father, that we are allowed to come together and pray and being taught from the Word of God, from your Word, and being blessed by it, Father. I thank you that we are still allowed to do this in America, Father. And Father, I pray for Chaplain John. And I pray that you would strengthen him, his body and his heart. I encourage him, and of course, Father, comfort him. And Father, tomorrow he's going to go and teach at that church he just told me, and I just forgot the name of it again.
Words of Life. Words of Life.
The Words of Life. Father, I pray that you will calm his heart and clear his mind, and that you would guide and direct all that he says tomorrow, Father, and that as he is preparing for the lesson, Father, that you will calm him to sit down wherever he sits down, in front of his computer or wherever, with a calmness and energy to learn or find what he needs to find, the verses in the Bible, and then that you would get it, that he will be able to get it all together tomorrow if we could teach it to the Word of Life Church that he is going to go tomorrow, Father. Bless Chaplain John and anoint all that he says tomorrow to them, Father. And I pray that you would open up the hearts to those people that will be listening to him, that you would clear their minds of clutter or other thoughts, but that they may really pay attention to what Chaplain John will be teaching tomorrow, Father. Bless and anoint the hearts with his teaching, and bless and anoint Chaplain John, Father, for I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, from last night, I think I owe someone a song. Do you remember who it was?
Not me.
She
barely remembered me.
All right. So maybe I don't owe anyone a song. I thought I did.
You owed me a one.
Say that again, Sharon.
I thought you owed Rita one.
I don't know. Rita, do you?
Yeah.
What? No, you did it. You remember? I was kidding you about it last night. That you, I said you almost forgot me because I was the very last one.
Okay.
And the song was Amazing Grace. Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, with the bagpipes.
Yes.
All right. Now, Gigi, do I owe you and Randy a song?
Yes. I'm sorry. It took me a while to unmute myself. I think it's an old song, and it's I think it's called Behold What Manner of Love.
No, we played that.
don't. Oh, I didn't know.
Didn't we play that?
Nope, we didn't play that. So it's an older song. I can't tell you who is singing it.
All right. Let me see if I can get it then. I thought we played. It doesn't matter.
No,
it's very short.
It's a very short one. It's like a minute and 53 seconds. And it was the scripture that we were talking about that night.
Well, maybe that's why it's so familiar.
Yeah, because I did say last night we were wanting that, but Gigi wasn't right there. And we couldn't remember what it was, Gigi.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
And do you, all right, I found it. Do you know who you want to hear sing it?
It's just a guy's name, and it's like a minute and 53 seconds. It's not long. It's just the scripture.
Well, I'm sorry. It's all women. All of them that are singing it or a group.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a guy. I don't know. Do you want to take somebody else and I'll look it up?
Pray right quick. We had a kind of calamity over across the street.
Oh.
Go ahead, Sister Kathy.
Yeah. All right, Lord, I just pray for the situation over in the condos. And I pray, Lord, that there's no fatality. It seems a man stabbed his own self in the chest. And there's a single man over there with two great Pyrenees. And I pray that it's not him. And I pray whoever it was, nobody witnessed it. As far as children, there's a ton of families over there. So thank you, God, that we can pray. And that you will help people we don't even know, things we don't even understand, but you can send angels to this situation right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to play the song, Gigi. It's Maranatha Singers.
Well, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. That's right out of 1 John, chapter 3.
Yes, we used to sing that in church in a round just like that, and we sang it with another scripture, but that's why I know the scripture so well.
Yeah, that's perfect, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, I guess we still got a minute or two. Now, hang on, I want to see if I can catch that song. I wanted to get that song, We Are One in the Lord.
Yeah, we hadn't heard that in a long time.
Right. I'm trying to think of where I saved it. I know I saved it, but I can't find it. I saved it so good. Now, Sister Kathy, they shall know us.
They will know we are
are
Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love.
No. Yeah, here it is, right here. Well, the cover, it doesn't look too pretty to look at, but here it is. God bless everybody, and hopefully I'll have a real good report for you when I come back tomorrow after teaching at Words of Life.
I'm looking forward to it.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Father, from whom all things will come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his one and only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Oh.
God bless everybody. Remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.